But if you compare the benefits of EGFR versus BEV just in RAS wild type, right-sided and left-sided, what did the two studies
So
show?
both studies showed that patients with right-sided disease did much better with BEV than cetuximab, and with left-sided disease appeared to do better with cetuximab compared to BEV. Now, the difference was much more seen in FIRE-3 than in 80405. In 80405, the difference was not statistically significant. In
On the left side.
on the left side, in FIRE-3, the difference was very much favoring cetuximab. Now, one of the things to look at is if you look at the results side by side, both populations of patients who got cetuximab in the FIRE-3 study, no matter what the sidedness was, and in 80405, that group of patients did about the same, about a 31 or 32 month survival overall. The difference between the studies was that the BEV patients in FIRE-3 had a median survival of 25 months compared to in 80405, 32 months.
What about hazard rates?
Well, so hazard ratios match the sort of numerical differences, but the idea, though, is that in FIRE-3, the apparent benefit of cetuximab was actually the decremental results of patients receiving BEV, as opposed to 80405, where the patients receiving BEV had a much better survival than in FIRE-3.
But the bottom line is, what was the hazard rate, let's say, for survival when left-sided RAS wild-type disease, EGFR versus BEV, in FIRE-3 and in CALGB?
Right. So one of the things to recall is that the sidedness results from 80405 have not been published.
Oh, you
Although
mean it was
that's
presented at
presented at
ASCO?
ASCO,
Okay,
right.
so, but the bottom line is it shows a hazard rate of 0.817 on left, right?
Correct.
And 1.2 on the right.
Correct.
So it actually says it's P0.01, but you're saying it wasn't statistically
It
significant?
turns out that if you look at the all RAS population, it ultimately turned out to be statistically significant. As we presented 80405 initially, we looked only at KRAS wild type. And again, that data, there's some changes from that data set as we presented
Yeah,
it.
so we have to, I think we have to be careful about interpreting a lot of this data because we're starting to look at a subgroup of a subgroup. And, you know, the numbers start becoming smaller, sample size is smaller, so it's a little bit more difficult to interpret. I think, so two things, you know, when I look at the data from the practical standpoint, regardless of p-values and hazard ratios and all this, FIRE-3 was relatively, with all due respect to our European friends, was primarily a response rate driven study. And we have to think about it in this way. Second thing, overall survival, if you look at those curves, they're very weird, right? PFS was about 10 months. And then that survival actually separate after 2 years. So 1 year after patients stopped first-line therapy, survival starts separating. So one would question whether the effects are coming from something that was done later rather than earlier. So that's a problem. It doesn't really reflect our practice. So from U.S. investigator standpoint or U.S. community practitioner, I personally look at FIRE-3 as an interesting study, but not a study I would rely on when I do my practice.
Okay, well, let's go back to CALGB
So let's go back to CALGB
because I'm still
80405.
confused here.
Absolutely. So if you look at the results of CALGB 80405, so we look at essentially, you know, left BEV versus less cetux. Although left BEV and less cetux seems to be a little bit better, but those curves are actually quite close to each other. When we move to the right on the BEV seems to actually separate much more relative to the right on the cetux. So I think just from the practical standpoint, from my standpoint, I think the answer is that on the left side, cetux may have a slight edge. On the right side, cetux may be even detrimental, and should not be recommended. And that is reflected on the NCCN guideline, that on the right side, you do not use EGFR inhibitors, at least in the first line. On the left side, the two choices are still acceptable, BEV or cetux.
You mentioned first line. Alan, for right-sided lesions that are RAS wild type, where do EGFR antibodies fit in?
The NCCN guidelines would recommend against them in all right-sided patients. And in fact, it does look, if you look at the numbers, you'd wonder if it was detrimental, although Crystal, which is a study that basically looked at EGFR or no EGFR with right-sided disease, it was not deleterious there. However, what I would say is that the NCCN guidelines and our general approach is not to use EGFR antibodies at all in first line on right-sided patients. We have subsequent data that we've presented at ESMO that we will soon be publishing, where we think we do have a sort of a biomarker, a profile of why patients with right-sided disease do worse and do not respond to EGFR antibodies, but we don't think it's every patient.
What biomarker is that?
So this would be essentially a sort of subset of colon cancer patients that may be described by a signature, an expression signature, like the consensus
so
molecular subtypes. That remains to be validated, but we think that that might explain it. But it's easy to see why you're confused, because in medicine, nothing is 100% ever, cancer medicine. So does no patient with right-sided colon cancer benefit from EGFR antibodies? I don't think that's the case. But generally, we do not use EGFR antibodies on right-sided patients based on this data, which is a profoundly worse outcome in general with that
it's
subset.
It's almost a 10-month difference on the survival between the right, a little bit less than 10, between the right Bev and the right cetuximab. It's pretty concerning. 16.7 months is a number that we almost never see except with the BRAF mutated patients in colon cancer. And there are other options. If we didn't have any other options, I would argue that, you know, yes, cetuximab may be used. I would advocate not to even use it in the second line, although the data doesn't necessarily support that.
The other option down the line, pretty quickly down the line, is going to be something like TAS-102 or regorafenib.
Right. So if you eliminate the EGFR antibodies, you've taken away a good deal of the therapeutic options for patients. The reason the guidelines still allow second line or subsequent line EGFR is the studies are not crystal clear. They're suggestive, but I think there are some exceptions. And again, that's been studied much less well. So
it is interesting that if you look, there's the NCIC study, the one that looked at cetuximab versus best supportive care.
CO17.
Yes. So the data was published for right versus left. And it was interesting, if you look at the right side of tumors, when you look at cetuximab versus best supportive care, the PFS is about the same. So it doesn't seem that the drug itself induces any improvement in PFS. On the left side, there's definitely a divide. What was interesting to see on that study is that when you look at survival, it was actually superior with cetuximab on the right side versus best supportive care. So although there may not be much of a difference in terms of PFS, whatever biologically cetuximab is doing, it seems to be inducing a differential in survival. And to Alan's point, that means you shouldn't exclude patients with right-sided colon tumors from receiving cetuximab or panitumumab, but I would pull it down to third line. Even you can argue perhaps to fourth line, but either or, but not in the first line, definitely not in the first line, maybe not in the second line, and then think about third and fourth line.